Retirement age used to mean something. For most jobs, you had to be in your mid-60s to hit the milestone and say farewell to the workplace for good. But times have changed a lot, and there is a growing, still small, but growing segment of the population looking to retire early, way, way early. It's called the FIRE movement, and it stands for Financial Independence and Retire Early. Joining us now from New York City is Erin Lowry. She's a personal finance expert, the founder of Broke Millennial, a blog and book aimed at helping millennials get their financial lives together. She joins us from Astoria, Queens. Hello there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is the FIRE movement exactly? I mean, we're talking retire really, really early.
You are. And it really depends on who you ask. There are so many subsects of the FIRE movement as well. You've got Fat FIRE, Lean FIRE, Barista FIRE. So it goes really all over the place. But the core tenet of the entire movement is people who are trying to achieve financial independence, whatever that means to them. For a lot of folks, it's a minimum of $1 million, looking at the 4% withdrawal rate, so they feel that they can live off of $40,000 for the rest of their lives. And for others, it means more, and for some, it even means less. So trying to achieve financial independence and therefore leave the workforce. Now, the thing that a lot of people have issues with, including myself in some cases, is the retire early part, because a lot of these people leave the traditional workforce, but they still work. They just work in a different capacity.
Mm. Barista FIRE? What is Barista FIRE?
That's one of my favorites. I feel like it's a relatively new term, or at least I've been hearing it just recently. And it's more specific for Americans who are trying to achieve FIRE because, as you all know, our healthcare system is not the greatest. So it's people who are financially independent, but then join companies such as a Starbucks that offers healthcare to part-time employees in order to hack the healthcare costs.
Wow. Wow. Now, this is not a path you have been pursuing, at least not currently, but you almost did. Is that right? Tell me about your story.
Well, what I like to joke about is that there was one time I almost joined the FIRE movement, and I've been a not-so-silent critic, cynic, whatever word you want to use, of the movement. I believe in FI. I believe everybody is ultimately trying to be financially independent. That's the goal of trying to reach retirement. But I am skeptical of this idea that at 35 or less, you could leave with just $1 million, which to some people, they might think $1 million is a ton of money, but depends on where you want to live, depends on if you want to get married, have kids, healthcare issues come up. There are so many factors here that have not unfolded by the time you're only 35 years old. And I just don't see $1 million, even $3 million for many people being enough to get you through to the end of your life. But there have been times where I've been seduced by the movement, if you will, because, yeah, it sounds great to at 35, 40, be able to say, I don't need to earn another penny in my life, and I can just go pursue whatever it is that I want to do in life.
I think that sounds like the worst thing ever in the history of the world. I would wither like a leaf in the desert sun if I retired so early. It would take so much work for me to figure out things to do. Have people factored that in, or is it just that they have great aspirations to have complete sovereignty over their time, an aspiration I do not hold?
And I think it depends on how you consider the word retire. That's the issue that I and a lot of people have with the movement, is that the movement itself is essentially trying to redefine retire and just say that they're no longer beholden to an employer and they no longer need a paycheck. But most of them pivot to do something akin to what I actually do now and be self-employed, whether that's write a blog, put out books, run a podcast, do some sort of other volunteer work, or work in just a completely different industry. That's what a lot of people end up doing. So they're still working. They're still bringing in an income, but they don't technically need it. That's where there's a lot of gray area around this whole retire part of it.
What is specific to your generation, the millennial generation, that has this idea resonate? Well, I talk a lot about the generational differences, and I think there's a distinction between generations and life stage. And in this case, this sounds like a generational phenomenon, a mindset difference.
Well, I would actually look at the Gen Xers, because those are the big names in the FIRE movement are really Gen Xers.
I guess, because 35 and Gen Xers are 37. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, right. So then that's part of it. But in terms of both of these, looking at Gen X and looking at millennials, I think part of it is, especially for millennials, this idea of having employer and employee loyalty just simply doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, most of us do not have access to jobs that we could stay in until we wanted to retire. Pensions are pretty much a thing of the past, at least in the United States. And I think there's just an inherent distrust of your employer in the sense of you don't know when you could be let go. There doesn't have that same level of security. So a lot of people, whether it's necessity because they're paying off student loans or another form of debt, or because they just don't trust having one income stream, a lot of people have created the whole side hustle movement and have more than one stream of income. And I think that was kind of laying the groundwork for this idea of I can opt out early and take control. And I think that that's really what the FIRE movement speaks to. The other thing that's interesting to me is a lot of people who are the big names in the movement, if you will, are people who are really high achievers. So I often wonder, after the newness of being retired has worn off and you don't have that competitive edge, that competitive drive that you have being fulfilled at work, what's going to happen?
You mentioned the sort of, I don't know, psychographic, perhaps, of people who are pursuing this life. And it is not, in some ways, it is not a particularly diverse population.
Agreed.
Why do you think that? I mean, how do we layer in other issues of people's circumstance? Like, it must seem to, you know, the single mother who's punching the clock, just trying to keep a roof over her head, she might guffaw at the thought of financial independence, retire early. She's probably fantasizing about providing some money for her child's education savings.
I think a lot of the general population guffaws at the entire concept. And I think a big part of the struggle right now is some people who write about it and speak about it are incredibly open about privilege, the idea of privilege, their personal inherent privilege. But the greater movement, I don't think, has been readily accepting of the fact that it isn't a diverse population. If you see a picture of people at a meeting, it doesn't look particularly diverse. And that's something you have to consider. The other thing, too, is the jobs that often get featured as jobs that lead people to financial independence. It's a joke because it's so trite at this point, but software engineer seems to be the number one job that gets referenced in any article right. that is written about FIRE. And that's such a small subset of the population, and not everyone can be a software engineer. So saying, well, just switch your job to something that can earn you more money is not helpful advice to give people.
Instead of focusing on retiring early, one of the things you've written about is your efforts to live intentionally instead. What does that mean to you?
Well, I actually really kind of took this idea from the Frugal Woods, who's a couple who has had a blog for many years. We actually started around the same time about 5 years ago and wrote a book, came out maybe 6 months or so ago, that's Meet the Frugal Woods. And it's about their own journey to financial independence at a very young age in their late 30s. And we have very different visions of what we would want our retired lives to be. They're on a homestead in Vermont. That's not remotely interesting to me. But she, Liz, the writer, talks a lot about this idea of living intentionally and putting money into just what you value. And that's something I preach myself a lot when I'm talking about just how to get your financial life together, spending money on what you value. We get so many messages from the media, our family, our friends, our coworkers about what we're supposed to value. But you need to be very good at boiling it down to what you personally find valuable, and don't let other people's messages get in the way of that. And I also feel that the idea of intentional living is figuring out the lifestyle that you want to have and be open to the fact that that's going to change over time. Mm. And that's another struggle I have with FIRE is there's a lot of conversation about, you know, if you live in a metropolitan area, you're wasting money, you don't need to be there. Simplify, simplify, simplify. But there are values and things that I personally like about living in a major urban environment that would make me not want to go into a smaller rural area, if you will. So
Broadway, that is one, the Broadway.
That is one, the general diversity, the access to pretty much anything you want when you want it, the food, the culture. It just really depends on what you value.
Erin, thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Erin Lowry is the founder of Broke Millennial, and she was here to talk about the FIRE movement, which stands for Financial Independence and Retire Early. And I think Erin and I agree that we're not headed down that path. Interesting to know in terms of the zeitgeist, but I'm going to work till I'm 102, I think.